a few years ago. Now, you're tuned into breakfast here on your Sound Alternative. How are you with money? Are you wincing as I say, how are you with money? Are you wincing as I ask the question? I think when someone asks me how I am with money, I fear it a little bit because I don't necessarily have a huge amount of financial literacy. If the answer is similar to mine or the reaction is similar to mine, then Emma Edwards is saying it might not be our fault. Emma Edwards is the founder of The Broke Generation, a media company, platform and podcast. She's a copywriter, a content creator, a podcaster and a certified financial behaviour specialist. While working as a copywriter in her 20s, she worked quite hard to turn her own finances around and began creating content to help others do the same when she realised there was a gap in understanding and in the sort of democratisation of access to this information. She's just released a book that deep dives into her own fiscal identity and habits and promises to help you come out the other side feeling good with money. I caught up with Emma and started out by asking her why she cares about money.
So I was always a self-confessed hot mess when it came to money. I kind of would constantly like try and get on top of things, and I knew that it's something that I should be doing, and I would admire my friends that were savers, but I was just like a total spender by nature. I constantly trying to like get things back under control. Not that it was out of control, but I didn't have any like structure around my finances. I wasn't like, you know, saving for emergencies and stuff like that. You know, I had my trusty credit card for emergencies, and I kind of just thought that was always the way that it would be for me because I was working in a, you know, low paid industry and my parents weren't wealthy. Like, my parents are divorced and we had grown up with money being a bit difficult. And I just kind of thought that that's the way that it was. I thought that you earned money and some people earned a lot of money and some people did not earn a lot of money. And you're either a have or you're a have not. And if you have that little salary, you can spend it when you have some and you know, kind of struggle by when you don't. And that's just kind of how life works. And so I started sort of trying to get on top of that when I was sort of in my mid-20s and people around me started buying their first homes. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, didn't know we were doing this. I kind of thought that we were all sort of being a bit of a mess together. And it kind of started to open my eyes to other things that might be possible with money that I hadn't, you know, ever really been taught about or learned about or been exposed to. And so I started trying to get on top of my finances and I really started paying attention to the emotional, psychological, behavioral side of money, why I was engaging in the behaviors I was, why I was on this constant hamster wheel of like trying to set a budget and then breaking it the second I tried and never really understanding why I couldn't get ahead, really starting to look at my financial perspective and why it was that I kind of thought that I had these limits in place, why, you know, how my upbringing might have informed the way that I am with money, how I maybe thought that things weren't available to me that might have been available to other people. And that was where I started to really kind of almost hyper-focus on trying to change my financial situation and trying to change my financial behavior and feel better about my finances and stop just avoiding them and ignoring them. And it kind of turned into a bit of a passion project in terms of thinking, wow, I didn't know about this stuff. Other people don't either. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about like the emotional side of why we spend our money, why we self-sabotage, how our money habits relate to other habits in our lives, how our financial perspective can be very narrow if we haven't grown up around money. And then that meant that I went on to study financial psychology through a college in the US. I did that online. I didn't commute, obviously. and then, yeah, I've been talking about it online for like 5-6 years. And I decided that my book would be, I guess, my contribution to the financial conversation in that like emotional behavioral space.
It honestly sounds like a conversation that I have had with myself, I've had with my friends. You've just spoken so clearly and so succinctly to an experience that I'm having. It sounds like you're talking about me, you know, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way, which is why I think this is so important. It's an experience that we're all having. I'm watching friends buy houses. I'm watching friends be secure. And I'm like, when were we doing that? We're doing that. And it's the exact same feeling. And that's such a thwarting feeling. It's so awful to feel behind or not together or out of the loop in a way, and then to feel like the information is also not for you, that the ways that you, you know, have learned to be aware about this are actually not accessible for you. And that's kind of hard and kind of tricky. That emotional spending, the way that we think about that, is a really big focus of this book. And I know you touched on talking about finances online, so I want to get to the broke generation in just a little bit. Yeah. But I am curious about why we are so emotionally tangled with money, why you think that so often, you know, we are Carrie Bradshawing it up and prioritising Vogue over eating because it feels like it feeds us more. And I'm not quite on that tip, but I definitely have, you know, spending problems myself, and I'm sure lots of people can relate to feeling kind of tangled and messy and sort of emotionally invested with spending.
I think spending is a really interesting topic, and it's why I love talking about it so much, because I think it's probably the part of our money that we conceal the most. Even though I've been doing this for so many years, sometimes when I sort of, you know, have episodes of self-doubt or imposter syndrome or whatever, I kind of think, oh, you know what, nobody needs this. But they do, because our spending habits are the thing that we conceal the most and the thing that we overcompensate for the most. And there's so much shame entangled with our spending habits. And it's why I talk about money the way that I do, because I really want to, you know, break down that stigma and make it okay to be like, hey, I need to learn how to spend money in a safe way. Because there's, you know, there's a lot of shame around money in general, but I think there's a unique type of shame that exists for something that you are expected to know how to manage, but you don't. Like, there's so much shoulding around money. We should save, we should do this, and we're just expected to, at birth, know how to not only manage money, but manage our emotions as well. And money often acts as like a currency for our emotions, particularly when it comes to emotional spending. And I think that, you know, people have always emotionally spent, but I think that there's, particularly for our generation, and I talk about this a lot in the book, which is, I think, what makes it quite a unique part of the money conversation, is that, you know, I grew up with like a low-fat yogurt mum. You know, people talk about having an almond mum. Yeah. I had a low-fat yogurt mum. And what I learned about was calorie counting and making sure that my thighs were hidden and making sure that my cellulite wasn't getting too bad. And I really think that that, particularly for our generation and our parents' generation that raised us, of women, I think that that really, like, almost meant that I had the blinkers on of everything else that was important in life, because I had been conditioned to believe that what mattered was the way that I looked, how much I weighed, and the number on the tag in my jeans. And it sounds really extreme to say it, but it is true. The things that we focus on are the areas that our money will go towards, the lessons that we're taught as things that are important, the things that we're taught to care about, the conversations that we're having the most in our lives, in our households. That's where our energy is going to go towards. And so if you weren't taught about managing money, but you were taught about counting calories, which is the experience for a lot of people, it's really not your fault that you know more about how many calories are in a Mars bar than how much is in your superannuation. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that that's sort of like twofold now with the modern environment that we're living in. We have endless options of buy now, pay later, so we can have stuff now and defer the responsibility till later. We are glued to our phones 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plus hours a day, where we're not only consuming advertising, but we have just such visibility over everybody's lives and what everybody's got and how happy everybody is. And then there's this low-hanging fruit that is all this stuff. You know, the amount of stuff we consume is unbelievable. If some people say, oh, you know, spending's not much of a problem, but then you look at landfill and how many clothes and unwanted household goods go to landfill every year, and we're obviously buying things that we don't really want. And I think that it is because our wants and our identities and our needs have been hijacked in order to sell us stuff to a degree, that almost our decisions aren't really our own anymore. And so we have this low-hanging fruit where we can hand over our money and get a quick hit of dopamine. And we get stuck in this cycle of outsourcing our happiness or our identity or our confidence to the stuff that we buy, that we're almost reliant on spending in order to, like, feel our way through our lives. It sounds very extreme, and I'm talking about it in an isolated case, in an isolated sort of context, but that really is, that was my experience. It's the experience of so many people I speak to, especially women, when it comes to clothes, makeup, diet products, even the way that we consume Uber Eats or DoorDash or any kind of like food delivery service. I've had a lot of conversations recently about how a lot of our motivational behaviors around why we constantly reach for food delivery is obviously, one, we're stressed and we're burnt out and it looks sort of like an easier option, even though sometimes the mental load of choosing something can be harder. But for a lot of women that I talk to, it's actually this sort of hangover from existing under diet culture where we were sort of conditioned that you couldn't have nice food in the house because that made you a bad person. And so we now have this thing where we actually don't know how to stock our fridges and our grocery cupboards with food that we like. So we buy things that we don't really want to eat, and then we order takeaway because that's the only way that we can get like nice food, because we're so used to restricting what we buy and having good food in the house and sort of setting ourselves up for success. But then the second we want to rebel against that, we end up paying, you know, extortionate amounts for it via takeaway. It's a very specific experience, and I feel like if you've experienced it, you'll relate. If you haven't, you'll be like, what on earth are you talking about? But it is something that a lot of people, if you've been through that diet culture hamster wheel, it makes a lot of sense when you look at the way that we behave now with other things in our life like money.
You're hearing from Emma Edwards, financial behaviour specialist and founder of The Broke Generation. She's just released a book called Good With Money. And we're going to take a little break, but come back and hear what the go is with the new book here on Breakfast on your Sound Alternative, RTR FM. You've been listening to Breakfast here on The Sound Alternative. We've been chatting with Emma Edwards, learning a little bit more about how we can be good with money. And the book is that's actually the name of the book that she's just put out, but she's teaching us about it. She is. She's released a book deep diving into this idea of behaviour around money and how we psychologically engage ourselves, how we get tangled in emotional messes of spending. We're checking back in with Emma and myself, having a conversation a few days ago about the release of the book. Despite it being, you know, something that seems to be that we all should know it, we all should, you know, come out of the womb, come out into the world knowing how to manage our finances, it isn't the case for everyone. And despite this expectation that we're supposed to know, it is still such a stigmatized topic. Talking about money is still so stigmatized, and there's still so much shame. And I don't really understand when we get in the know. If you're not raised that way, if you're not privy to that experience, if you're not privileged enough to, you know, growing up with a financial sort of literacy, then how are you supposed to access that kind of information when we land a little further in our lives and we check in and we realise that people have something that we don't? Now, Broke Generation is a sort of platform that you founded, I guess a company or a media company of sorts, a way of communicating about this very issue to an audience of people like yourself that were experiencing what we're talking about.
Yeah, so with the Broke Generation, I started it to try and bring money into the mainstream. I was aware that we were consuming content on social media and via other platforms like audio about, you know, I was scrolling social media learning about how to dress and how to do winged eyeliner and that kind of thing. And I thought, I wonder if we can bring harder topics into this sort of arena. So that's sort of how it started. And now it's sort of, I'm just trying to expand that sort of normalization of these conversations, like fusing the financial and the lifestyle, having more candid conversations as well as educational ones about finances, and getting people to talk about money in their own lives, I think is like the biggest goal at the moment. Because yes, there's a lot of education that I can provide, and, you know, I do solo episodes on my podcast where I talk about, like, you know, how to reclaim your spending decisions and how to, like, glow up your money and that kind of thing. But I think there's so much room for really candid lifestyle conversations that factor in the money aspect. Because, as you say, it's such a taboo, and we go through our lives having conversations about, like, pretty personal stuff, but we gloss over the financial lens a lot of the time. So I think for me, it's about making money part of the mainstream, making money part of our normal conversations, because that really is how we learn best. If we learn from other people, I've learned a lot of the stuff I know about things like retirement savings and investing through friends of mine I've met that were raised in households where it was talked about. And now via osmosis, I can pick up a lot of like information and knowledge and like absorb that part of life from them. So that's really where I'm going with the Broke Generation at the moment in terms of the content I'm putting out, the podcast I'm putting out, the kind of lens of the media that I'm producing. It's really about making money part of our everyday lives.
Moving out of the Broke Generation, now Good With Money is in the world, and that's really exciting, a book that kind of details what we're looking at with these connections to things that you might not even associate with money usually, the way that, you know, the emotional and psychological and behavioural aspects of your life kind of interplay with how money exists in your life too. The book itself is, I'm curious to know, is it a kind of guide? Is it a way that people can sort of attack their finances? Is it talking to people about, you know, your life and how you've been with finances?
Yeah, so it's a guide. I use personal examples from my own life to illustrate certain points, as it helps people feel less alone, and using that personal lens can be quite welcoming and quite validating for people. I want people to feel really seen by the book, which is some of the feedback that I'm getting, which is lovely. It's a guide that is broken into five parts. So the first part is just kind of giving yourself a break, looking at all of the reasons why being good with money is actually really hard. Part two is about sort of getting to know yourself, looking at how you were raised with money, the money beliefs that you might have developed, and how that might be informing your behavior, really understanding why you're behaving the way that you are, and helping you kind of create that separation between this is my behavior, this is not necessarily me. A lot of shame reduction happening in that section. In part three, we sort of take what we've learned in the first two and start putting it into some more practical framework so that we can learn to change those behaviors. Now we've understood them, how can we change them? In part four, we get really practical and we start looking at how we can put together like a financial ecosystem that means that our spending habits and our emotions are sort of given boundaries and a safer place to exist so that we're not self-sabotaging and going back around in circles. And then I conclude the book with part five, which sort of looks ahead to the future, the rest of your life, once you have got to the point where you can say you are quote unquote good with money. What does that allow you to do? How can we then look to bigger things like investing in assets, like growing more financial security, financial stability, looking at financial resilience from a financial and a mental perspective, to kind of, again, fuse money into the everyday aspect of our entire experience.
Emma Edwards is who you've been hearing from. Her book, Good With Money, was published by Allen & Unwin last month and can be found in most good bookstores or online. Emma Edwards giving us some good advice about how to be better with money this morning. It's 7:32 here on Breakfast and you're listening to The Sound Alternative. Let's get back into some music. We're diving into something from The Money War. This is Real Life.